भगवदाधिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीपादशरणं श्रीगुरुं
श्रीरूपं
प्रजातां
नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णकृष्णाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनामे
सरस्वते वेदे
भगवान्चारिणे निर्विशेषवादे पार्श्वदेशतारिणे नमो महावरण्याय कृष्णप्रेमगायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यानाम्ने गौरवे नमः हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्ता श्राधाकान्तमोस्तुते भक्तकाञ्चने गौराङ्गी श्राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी विश्वमानोऽस्तुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरूपश्च कृपासिन्धुमयो च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवयो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Damodar Ashtakam. So, let's complete a couple of points about the second verse, then we'll discuss the third verse. So, let's recite the second verse.
Tudantam mohor netram yumam rijantam karam bhojyam satam kanetram Umushvatakam padrirekakakanta
So, Bhakti Baddham, the Lord is bound by devotion. One of the Vaishnavacharyas who came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that taught an understanding of Vaishnavism which is very similar to what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. Was Shradhavananda Thakur. And his Krishna Karanamrit was very much loved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, in the Krishna Karanamrit, as well as in his Chauragra Vanyashtakam, and other places, he talks about how he says that the scriptures say that Krishna, you are all gods, but I say the scripture wrong. Because you are not all gods. Because when you are bound by your devotee's love, you have no power to cut the bond. Therefore, you are not all God, he says. So he says that
Chinatsi ghoram bhava pasha bandham Chinatsi bhimam yama pasha bandham Chinatsi sarvastra samastha bandham Naivatmano krit bhakta krit bandham
Says, O Lord, you have the power that
Chinatsi ghoram bhava pasha bandham. The bondage of material existence, it is very tight, very difficult to give it up. But you can cut it off. In the Bhagavad, first canto it is described,
Yat anudhyasana yuktaha karma gandhi vannam chinnanti kavidastasya kona kuryasatharatim. So, asin, it's like a sword.
The remembrance of Krishna is like a sword which cuts off the bonds of karma. Chinnanti kovidastasya.
So, the
devotee, by remembering Krishna, is able to cut off the bonds of Drupada. This is a reactionary work. So, how does he do that? Because, how do our past vasanas, the attractors, the attractors are promising pleasure. But when we remember Krishna wholeheartedly, then we experience a higher pleasure. And that higher pleasure enables us to reject the temptations for these lower pleasures. That's how the ropes, asha, basha, which are dragging us, we can cut them off by the sword of remembrance of Krishna. So he said, that way, Krishna, you can cut off the bhava parasha. Vinyatsibhima yamaparasha palindam. And that is one parasha is the parasha of desires. Another parasha is the desire of, is the parasha of reactions. So, because of our past sins, if somebody is supposed to go to the abode of Yama and suffer, then you can cut that off also. And the example of that is Ajamil. So, Yamaraj himself tells his servant, Namuchareena Mahatmyam Hare Pashyat Putraka. He says, oh my dear sons, he starts talking to his servant, as his son says, just see, Namuchareena Mahatmyam. What is the glorious chanting of the name of Hari? Ajamile Purene Ibar Mrithya Pasha Amuchyata. And Mrithya Pasha, the young Pasha is there on him, but Amuchyata, he is freed from that. So, Lama Thakur goes further and says that Chinasya Sarvasya Samastha Bandham. So whatever bondage might be there, all the bondage can be cut off by you, my dear Lord. But Naivat Manokrit Bhaktakrit Bandham, that but when the devotee binds you in his heart, you have no power to free yourself. So the greatest secret or the greatest mystery and the greatest glory of spirituality is how the Lord who is all powerful is overpowered by the love of his devotee. And in that sense, love reigns supreme. In Christianity they have that slogan, God is love. But because we don't have a very clear understanding of who God is, so many Christians make the opposite of it. And they say love is God. That means if you love everyone, that is God. And if the world is your God, that love is God. So that is not the understanding of God is love. God is love means the very scriptures clearly people understand. God is a supremely loving and lovable person. In that sense, God is love. Love is the amorphous field created in the brain by the firing of the membranes, that is God. What we call as love is basically a nervous sensation. Isn't it? What Butterfield will call as love, that is just a nervous sensation. That the ends of the nerve, certain contact of the sensual sense objects occur. And the sensation that comes from that, that's what people call as love. But that nervous sensation itself is our God. So God is love means that God is a supremely loving and lovable person. So he loves, and because he loves so wholeheartedly, that is why he is so lovable. Therefore he says that Lord is bound by the ropes of love, by the ropes of bhakti, and that's why as his pastime proceeds further, that Damodaram is Lord Krishna is now bound and he is looking very sad. And then Sudama comes over there. And Sudama is also very sad. Oh, my friend is bound. And all the other Gopal are lamenting. Krishna says, don't just lament, free me now. And then they all come and start trying to untie. And nobody is able to untie. And Acharya explained that because Sudama is bound with Vatsalibhav. And Vatsalibhav is higher than Sakyabha. So the knot that is bound by Vatsalibha cannot be removed by Sakyabha. So that's why they are not able to free you. And then when Krishna is bound, only one person is happy. That is Madhu Mangal. Why? Madhu Mangal is going to live. And when they all feel better, everybody else runs away, but Madhu Mangal gets caught. And when Madhu Mangal gets caught, often he gets bound. He says, now Krishna, you are experiencing what I have experienced in both of you. This is the reaction of karma. So at that time, Krishna is very silent. And then, when the Maharaj comes, that part time we'll discuss a little later. So then, the Lord is bound over here, and Satyavadhana is meditating on this vision of that Lord who is bound. And he's telling, what is the result of his pastime? That he describes in the. So these two verses describe the pastime, then he describes the glory of his pastime. So let's recite that.
Iti Vrikshvalilabhiranand kunde
But the old pastime is Ananda Kunde, the pool of exquisite overcoming. And there are Radha Kunde, Shama Kunde. So it's Ananda Kunde. So Ananda Kunde. What is it like? It is Rukhsarila with Ananda Kunde. Swaghoshan. Swaghoshan means his own people, his own villagers. Swaghoshan. Nimajjantam Akhya Paryantam. Nimajjantam is a drama. Akhya Paryantam is to proclaim. So by this pastime he is doing two things. The first thing is he is drawing the reverence of Radha and pulling that ecstasy. So another Krishna plays in his role. Basically, Krishna Lila is like a drama. Now the word drama has to be used carefully because often the word drama conveys the idea of something unusual, something temporal. But Krishna Lila is an eternal drama. And it is the highest reality. The highest reality is the reality of the Lord of the Lord and devotees. And that is demonstrated through Leela. So, in Krishna Leela, Krishna, by acting, he takes a different role. In every role, he plays that role to perfection. So, he was acting like a mischievous boy and now he is playing the role of being punished by his mother, and just by this one person, when he is acting like a small child, he is Ananda Kunde Imajantam. He is drawing the residence of Gokula in pools of ecstasy. So that is what happens by Krishna Leela in the spiritual world. Now, Prabhupada explained the third canto that Krishna Leela also happens in the material world. That happens, of course, when he comes as the avatara. But the other form of Krishna that happens is through Mahamaya. The Leela that happens through Mahamaya is the Leela of creation, maintenance and destruction. This is also the pastimes of the Lord. But these pastimes, they drown us in oceans of sorrow, not pools of ecstasy. I am the Lalitakimikaram, Sattanam, Vishnudhavam, Sabhavam, Udhav, that is also ocean of material existence, and Vishame, it is filled with great difficulties. So, actually we are all drowning in the ocean of misery. So what we have to do is, the impossible has come to go to the shore of immortality, of Brahman existence. But the devotee has to cross that ocean and drown in the ocean of bhakti, bhakti rasam sindhu. So, our goal is not just impersonal, peacefulness. It's actually spiritual devotional ecstasy. That's what Krishna is demonstrating over here. The Mayavadis think that emotions are the cause of suffering. And if I want that happiness, then I also get misery. Because they do come like a two sides of a coin. And therefore, we should get rid of emotions. But bhakti does not involve elimination of the emotions. It involves purification of emotions. And when there is purification, there is actually intensification of emotions. Devotee experiences far more emotions than a non-devotee. But for that, there has to be purification of emotions. And for the purity of emotions, they are also called that we should be equipoised with happiness and distress. But so, there is Pakistan was total emotion. It's only between tender purification, development of spiritual emotion, and then intensification of emotion. So, now he's drowning the residents of Gokula in pools of ecstasy. And secondly, what is it? Akhyapayantam. Akhyapayantam is to proclaim, to declare. Tadiyajita Gyesho Bhaktayajitattva. Tadiyami is associated. So, Gyesho is those who are in Avan, those who have knowledge. Gyesho is like Jnanavan. Gyesho, like Jnan, those who possess knowledge. So, Gyesho. So, those who are in knowledge of his awe and reverence, of his opulence, and so are in awe and reverence, Tadiyajita Gyesho Bhaktayajitattva. That he is conquered only by love. In fact, we see this theme recurring again and again in Krishna Leela. We see that in the 12th and 13th chapters, 13th and 14th chapters of the 10th canto, there is the Brahma Vimohan Leela. And the Brahma Vimohan Leela, actually, for the people of Pada Sampradaya, that is so bewildering. That causes their vimohan, because according to them, Brahma is the highest devotee. The Mark Sampradaya. So, Balakaya and Bhagavatam comment, just keep commenting on this subject. So, there will be any commentary on this subject. Because it's very difficult to understand how the topmost devotee can be visited. So, but understanding is that he is not materially bewildered, he is spiritually bewildered. And why is he spiritually bewildered? Because even Brahmaji is accustomed to a particular conception of God. For him, he offers that Sahasrati is the Purusha bears, and the Mahapurusha he worships is great awe and reverence. He has to perform all those yantra, tantra, mudra, and all those things to offer bhoga. At that same Krishna, what is he doing? That same Supreme Lord, he is actually eating the remnants of his devotee. You know that pastime, isn't it? Our Madhumangal had got some special charge. And he was thought that if I had to share with everyone, everyone won't get it. So I won't get much. So he went behind a tree, hid and started drinking it secretly. So drinking it, Krishna looked out very Madhumangal. He started searching and he came near that tree. Madhumangal, what are you drinking? Krishna called out. Then Madhumangal panicked and thought, oh, Krishna is coming, so he drank everything. And he drank everything. He couldn't let the other one go down his throat, so the cheeks got bulged. And then Krishna came running, he thought, now I have to make it. But Krishna came and made his rest on his cheeks. And then the butter milk came out, and butter milk fell on Krishna's body. And Krishna was picking it up and drinking that. Brahmaji got a culture shock.
Yeah, how was it possible? No, no. Even if you take remnants, something will come out of the middle
mouth. So he was completely bewildered. So, first he saw that Krishna is in the Lhasa. You see how it is? 12th chapter in the King of the Lhasa. And then, after that, he said, who is this boy? How can he kill such a powerful demon? And then when he killed him afterwards, he saw, this boy, he is not only so very powerful, but he is also a mystic, has a living culture. How can he be God? That bewilderment was by seeing the intimacy of God. And there is the greatness and there is the sweetness of God. So, he saw the intimacy of Krishna and he could understand how can God be like this? And that's how he got bewildered. So, Tadisa then, later on, he understood how the Gopas are so dear to him. Krishna, he tried to believe Krishna, but Krishna was believed. Krishna defeated him. In Indra, in Gita, Balishu Pandita Manina. This is not that Indra was very clever. But then, afterwards, when Krishna completely baffled all in the temple, he felt that the 7 days for which Prajvasis were there under Govardhan, for them they were like 7 minutes. But for Indra, they were like 7 painful yugas. Yes, nothing happening. It is another point that we will describe the pastime in more detail. So, not only could he not hurt any single Vrajavasi, he could not even hurt a single
blade of grass all over you.
Total insult. He thought that I just wipe off the Kalyas here, you know, suppose there is a cricket match. And you know, it's just one team goes inside, I think I'll completely defeat it. And the team goes for batting and everybody gets out to zero. And then he did all the offering of prayers and Krishna was quite grave. Krishna said, you know, I did this intentionally to remind you that you are not the Supreme. You can go back to heaven, but remember that you are not the Supreme. And then Krishna, he did his puja from the Airavat. You know, Airavat has a trunk that either contains nectar or it contains water. So he had celestial Ganges in it. So he showered water and did Abhishek of Krishna and then they left. And then all the Gopas of that time, they were all watching, hiding. Who is this big effulgent person and this huge elephant? They never seen an elephant so big. When it's coming from and they were observing. And they're all simply worshipping Krishna. And then all of them disappeared. The Devgas and other associates went back. And then the Gopas came. And they had kept all the Arti paraphernalia there. Big Arti paraphernalia, the Devgas and bigger. Big pan. And the Gopas took that up. And they started doing Arti of Krishna. Then they did a huge Arti Paragraha, some of them ended up and doing it. And they were chanting. And they were doing the Arti of Krishna. Krishna was so happy. Krishna was smiling and laughing. And Indra was saying, oh, I was offering the Arti, you know, Krishna was already reciprocated with it. Krishna was neutral. He's so happy. So, Tadiya Hita Yeshu, Bhaktaya Hita Tuam. Uddhava, that's why he could not understand. He thought that I was going into the Guru Desh too. The gopis, if you understand it, super soul is everywhere, where Krishna is a super soul, they don't worry. Okay, everything is alright, what you are saying is perfectly correct, but still we want the association of Krishna, personally. And the Vrajavasis are much higher, you know, Rukmini, she is the intimate consort, but the gopis, they left their homes, and they left the path of morality, material speaking, and they ran into Krishna, when Krishna called them, playing the flute. On the other hand, Rukmini was not going to do that. She was going to give her both her life. But she was not going to run away from her home to go to Krishna. So of course, Rukmini is also exalted devotee and all the devotees are inspired by the Lord to act in particular ways. So Rukmini prefer that I'll give my life, but not that I'll leave my father and leave my to be husband and brother and I'll run away. So in that sense, the gopi surrender is higher then even Rukmini shall be surrendered, as manifested in this pastime. So that's why the Diyeshita, so the goal, so the Vrajavasis are not concerned with any formality. The simple concern is love, and though they are aware of God's greatness, they cannot conquer the Lord. The Diyeshita Geshu Bhaktayeshita Tva. To these devotees, he is demonstrating how he is conquered only by love. Of course, you know, first, we have to let ourselves be conquered by Krishna's love. And then we can expect to conquer Krishna by our love. First way is actually we cannot be conquered by Krishna's love. First of all, we have to submit to Krishna's law. You know, we have to start obeying Krishna's instructions and also submit to Krishna's law. By following the law, gradually develop love. And we are conquered by Krishna's love. When we are conquered by Krishna's love, then a devotee can conquer Krishna. He never thinks that he wants to conquer Krishna. But it naturally happens. It's a very elevated stage. Panha prema dastam shatavati vande. Shatavati, hundreds of times I offer obeisances. Sanatana Goswami says that this is made of, it is not because of formality. It's not in avant reference in saying that, oh, I offer obeisances hundreds of times. He's saying, because he's seeing this extraordinary vision of the Lord bound, spontaneous love is arising in his heart. Out of spontaneous love, He's offering obeisances again and again. So, but we know, generally, after the Lord is glorified, then the Lord asks, okay, you have glorified me now, what is your business? What do you want? Generally, you know, when you approach somebody, you glorify him, and then the real business comes up. What do you want? So, but of course, the devotee will approach to flatter the Lord. The devotee generally wants to glorify the Lord. So now, the person is in the next verse is going to express what is his desire. वरम देव देव मीन्स वन हु जो देते हैं वन हु गिव्स सो द वर्ड देव वन वे ऑफ अंडरस्टैंडिंग इज दीयते हिंदी बिकम देना एंड वो इज वर सो दोज हु गिव बेनेडिक्शन दे आर कॉल्ड एज देव देवा सो वरम देव सो बाय द लॉर्ड यू आर द गिवर ऑफ बेनेडिक्शन सो वरम देव मोक्षम न I do not want moksha. Now why does the devotee not want moksha? Because there is no facility to serve Krishna over there. In fact, in Anandandam Jampu, Kavi Karanapu describes that in the 28th chapter, the 27th chapter of Krishna book, of the 10th canto, Krishna shows his Krishna actually is pacified by Indra, and the next day when Nanda Maharaj goes to bathe, at that time he is arrested. So when he is arrested, at that time the devotees are very panic struck, but then they come back, and then Nanda Maharaj understands that actually this is Krishna, this is God, because he sees how Varun Dev is respecting. He tells on the Vyasas also, this is what I saw. He says, Krishna is really God. Then is he going to give us, is he going to give us liberation or not? So he says, is he going to show us Vaikuntha? So there it is clear that actually he shows the Vibhuti. So first thing is, God, can he show us the Brahmajyoti? Krishna. So Krishna says, fine. And Krishna shows the Brahmajyoti and takes it. So, they don't see anything. There's just oneness. The vast. As it described in the Brahma Samhita, इससे प्रभा प्रभावित जगदंड कोटि कोटिश्व अशेष अवसदादि विभूति विन्नम तद् ब्रह्म निष्कलम अनंतम अशेष भूतम निष्कलम कला मीन्स पार्ट तो निष्कलम मीन्स नो पार्ट श्वेता शब्द रूपी से दैट निष्कलम निष्कामम निष्क्रियम निरंजनम शांतम परम सो ऑल न न न न सो बाय ऑल दिस लाइक दिस वेरी मच यू नो निष्कलम नो पार्ट निष्क्रिय निष्क्रिय नो एक्टिविटी निष्कामम नो डिजायर्स निरंजनम नो नो डिजिग्नेशंस एंड दैट इज सुप्रीम यस दिस इज द सुप्रीम बट देन द उपनिषद आल्सो बैफल्ड ओके द उपनिषद सेज सर्व कामम सर्व क्रियम सर्व ज्ञानम That Lord, you know, all work, all activity, all desires, all knowledge, yes, so they get baffled. They say, actually, this is lower level, that is higher level. No, actually, the Upanishad said that he doesn't have anything material, but he has everything spiritual. So, when they see the Brahmajyoti, they get a little, they initially feel awestruck by the Brahmajyoti. But then they feel agony struck. Why? Because they are not able to see Krishna, they are not able to relate with Krishna, they are not able to serve Krishna. And they are feeling this Brahma Yodhi is hellish, we don't want this. And then they are shown Vaikuntha, and when they are shown Vaikuntha, they say Vishnu over there. They feel very happy and they offer obeisances to Vishnu. But then after offering obeisances, they feel, where is Krishna? We want Krishna. And then they are shown Goloka. And when they see Goloka, they say, Goloka is exactly the same as what they are having over here. Goloka is exactly the same as Gokul, and they are amazed. And then Krishna brings them back to external consciousness. So they say, oh, he says, you are already in the spiritual world. Oh, and then they feel very happy. So actually, the Vrajavasis are covered by Yoga Maya, and then there are different levels of understanding of the Vrajavasis. So Prabhupada says that Dhodhoa and Hara, they did tapasya, and then they became the parents of Krishna. That is one way of understanding it. Our Acharya Sanatana Rupa says, Kavi Karnapur wrote this book, Gaurava Vandana Deepika, where he describes the associates of Lord Chaitanya are in Krishna Lila. So like that, Rupa Goswami has written a book called Radha Krishna Vandana Deepika. And in this he describes what are the roles of the different associates of Radha and Krishna. For example, what is Anangamanjari, what is her service? So who is Abhimanyu? What is his role? Chandrayale, Sakhi, she has her husband, Govardhan Mala, what is his role? So all the details about Krishna Lila is described over there. So there, Rupa Goswami describes that actually Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Maharaj are eternal parents of Krishna. But they, when they come to the material world, they come in different ways. So in some cases, so the Bhagavatam when they say the Drona and that Sattavan Trishnila, Drona and Dhara, Devitapasya and Devike Vasudev Devike Nanda Maharaj Yashoda Maharaj. What is the meaning of that? There are two ways of understanding this. Two things can happen. One is that actually these eternal associates, they expand themselves partially and become those heavenly residents, the rishis of the heavens, Deva Rishi. And then they demonstrate the power of austerity. That by doing devotional austerity, one can get the association of the Lord. And by that, they set an example for others. And when the eternal associates descend, and the partial expansions return back, they are withdrawn back into the eternal associate. That's one way it happens. The other way it happens is, actually some soul has a very strong desire to actually become the parent of Krishna. Now in this spiritual world it is not possible, because the position of Vishwamana Maharaj is eternally occupied. But Krishna manifests special mercy in the material world. And what does he do? That soul, he is doing the right tapasya, and then that soul lodges into the body of the eternal associate. That means, Nanda Maharaj is the eternal associate, but the soul who wants to play the role of, wants to serve Krishna as a father, then that soul lodges in the body of Nanda Maharaj and experiences life as the eternal associate, as the father of Krishna. And after that, when the Leela is over, that desire is fulfilled, then the soul returns back to the spiritual world to serve Krishna in Vatsalila, not as a parent, but as a parent-like person. So this indicates Krishna's extraordinary magnanimity. And if the soul wants to serve Krishna in a particular way, Krishna accommodates that desire and fulfills that desire. That's why Chakravarti Path says that Krishna's pastimes are performed in the spiritual world and they are performed in the material world. But in the material world they are more special. Why? Because if there is a shining jewel in a shining casing, then that does not look as attractive as the shining jewel is put in a dark casing. So, because Goloka, Vaikuntha or Goloka, they are already shining. In their Krishna pastime shine. But this material world is a dark place. Tamasoma, Jyotirgama, Tamasas, Tadgahanam Lavhiram. Kajivara says, you know, there is impenetrable darkness in the material world. So, Gahanam Raviram. So, until Krishna performs his pastime, there is special attraction. So, for a devotee, he doesn't want liberation. So, the Krishna, so far, talking about the Vrajavasis, they are actually the eternal associates. But some other souls also participate in those pastimes in different ways. Some of them, very few of them, are lodged in the eternal associates' bodies. Others may be one of the associates who get trained and eventually return back to the spiritual world. So when we get liberated, we become one of the associates in Krishna's manifest pastimes. And there, after receiving training, we return back to the spiritual world. So for a devotee, Brahmajyoti is not at all appealing. In fact, material world is better. Mm-hmm. Why? Because material world actually thinks Sir Krishna. That's why Prabodhananda Saraswati says that Kaivalyam Narakayate. Narakayate is like hell. So the material world is filled with black darkness and the Brahmajyoti is filled with white darkness. Mm-hmm. All the white darkness. You know, imagine if you're coming from a dark room and suddenly there is very fulgent white light. Like sometimes, if you travel on the national highways at night, and there are these big trucks, they glare, they want to go very fast, they want all others to get out of there. So they glare their lights, you know, and those lights often cause blinding. And there are accidents also. So light can also blind. That's why Hiranmayana Patrena Satyasapi Hisindam Tattam Pushinapayam Satyadharmaya Dushtaye. That Ishopishat. So Yambhuvaman is praying to Yajnadeva, Yajnamurti. So Ishopishat is actually a series of prayers that is offered by Yambhuvaman to Yajna. So he is praying, please remove this effulgence. So he is removing the effulgence. So for a devotee, he is not attracted to Brahmajyoti. Paramdeva. Moksham na moksha avadhi. I don't want moksha. Now what is greater than moksha? Moksha avadhi means greater. What is greater than moksha? That is Vaikunthavas. He said, I don't even want Vaikunthavas. Why? Because in Vaikunthavas there is no Krishna. There is only Vishnu over there. The Brihad Bhagavatam describes how the Gopu Kumar went to Vaikuntha but he was not satisfied. So he goes up to Vaikuntha and then he goes to Ayodhya, he goes to Dwarka, he doesn't feel satisfied. Then he comes back to the material world. He comes back to Vrindavan, performs pastimes, performs bhajan in Vrindavan, and then from this Vrindavan he goes directly to Gokul Vrindavan, he goes to Goloka Vrindavan. So, na moksha vadhim va, I don't even want Vaikuntha vas. Na cha anyam runeham vareshadapi. Anya vruna, vruna means vara again. And I don't want any other benediction also. I wonder what else is left. You don't want liberation, you don't want Vaikuntha vas, what is left? The Bhagavatam describes that actually higher than Vaikuntha is engagement in devotional service. Why? Because it is engagement in devotional service that makes Vaikuntha into Vaikuntha. That's why there is a famous verse. You can repeat this verse after me. Naham vasami Vaikunthe.
Naham vasami Vaikunthe.
Yoginam hridaye shuva.
Yoginam hridaye shuva.
Yatra gayanti madbhaktah.
Yatra gayanti madbhaktah.
Tatishthami Narada.
Tatishthami Narada.
So the Lord is telling Narada that I do not reside in Vaikuntha. I do not reside in the heart of the yogis. Where do I reside? Yatra gayanti madbhaktah. Where my devotees glorify me. This is a vertical kind of glorification, stuti. Now, it is not factual that the Lord is not there in Vaikuntha. He is there in Vaikuntha. It is not factual that the Lord is not there in the heart of the yogis. He is the heart of everyone, what to speak of the yogis. But we cannot perceive him there. You know, we are in the material world. We don't know what is in the heart of the yogis. We don't know what is in Vaikuntha. But where can we perceive him? Yatra gayanti madbhaktah. Where the devotees glorify Krishna, that's where he is perceived. So, in that sense, the presence of Krishna is perceived where there is performance of devotional service. Gayanti madbhaktah is kirtanam, shranam kirtanam Krishna. So Vaikuntha also the presence of Krishna is perceived when there is engagement in devotional service. And that's why we see Durvasa Muni went to Vaikuntha. But he did not want to stay in Vaikuntha. He went to, by his mystic power, normally he said, you go to the spiritual world. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said that you cannot gate crash into the spiritual world. You know, gate crash, sometimes yes, come in a big truck and break the door open and go inside. You cannot gate crash like that into the spiritual world. Now, Durvasa Muni doesn't gate crash into the spiritual world. He went there, but because he was not in the mode of devotional service, he couldn't stay there. He was interested only in his protection. And he came back. So yogi, sometimes when yogi power may even be able to go to Vaikuntha. But what makes Vaikuntha Vaikuntha is a Vaikuntha consciousness that is invoked by devotional service. That's why devotional service is considered higher than Vaikuntha also. So he says, I don't even want engagement in devotional service. Now what do you want then? When he says, Nacha Anyam Vraneham Vareshadapiha. That means I don't want engagement in
the other limb of the worship service. I want engaging only in one particular limb. What is that? Smaranam. Idante vapurnata gopala bala. This beautiful form of Bala Gopal, sadame manasya avirashtam ki manye. Avirashtam means let me manifest in my heart. Idante vapurnata. Now he knows this is Nath, this is my Lord, this is my Master. But that Master has taken a particular vapu. What is that vapu? Gopala balam, Bala Gopal, small child. He's acting like a cowherd boy and he's tied by his mother. Manasya vidashtam kim anyai. What other benediction does he want? So now if you say, he says, first of all, I don't want this, this, this. And again he's saying, what else is required for it? And now in the next vision, next verse, he will focus on that vision. Idam deva purnata gopala balam. So what does that mean? He will describe in the next verse. So let's decide this verse. Then go to the next verse.
Varam deva mokshan na moksha vadeva na chanam prenaham varesha dapiha idam deva purnata gopala balam samasya vivanasya virashtam ki manye idam te mukham boja madhyanta nilai rutam kuntalai sridha rastrishya gopya buhushchundisam bimba rastadaram me manasya virashtam adam lakshalabhai
idam te mukhambojam at idam te this idam te mukhambojam that beautiful lotus says idam te mukhambojam atyanta neelai ratam kuntalai so vrutam it is covered by his hair so Krishna's hair is curly and soft and silken so Krishna's face is covered by that so we describe that many times that there are lotuses, the lotuses are surrounded by bees. The bees are swarming around the lotuses. So, it describes that Krishna's face is like a lotus, mukham bhojan, and his hair are like the bees that are swarming around it. And they create a, just as the bees, you know, in modern society people think that bees are a mess. If a bee comes, we want to drive it away. But if sometimes we have put a garland on the deities, and if a bee comes over, then we don't drive the bee away. And the bees are there because that bees attracted by the prasad of the Lord. So generally we don't die away that bee. So in the spiritual world there are bees, but the bees don't bite. Mm-hmm. They create ecstasy. They are indicating that there is so much nectar over there. One time, you know, Jainas were sharing this past and they asked, they were in Mayapur and there were a lot of mosquitoes. So Prabhupada was talking about the spiritual world. Suddenly one devotee asked, Prabhupada, are there mosquitoes in the spiritual world? So Prabhupada, if they are, they are also chanting Hare Krishna, they are not biting. So, you know, mosquitoes, honeybees, even if they are there, they don't bite. They give up their money, palm in nature, all of them are serving Krishna. They describe in the spiritual world that, Krishna is in the house, Suryadev is longing, I am now getting the darshan of Krishna. So long, and then when Krishna comes out, then the sun is eager to take a darshan. But when taking darshan, what happens? The heat starts falling sweat to Krishna. And then immediately the cloud thinks, oh, I have to protect Krishna. So the cloud comes in between and covers Krishna. And then, oh, Krishna walks in sweat, so the cloud acts like umbrella, and not only umbrella, showers down a light drizzle. You know, when the rain becomes too much, it's uncomfortable. But especially if all the light drizzle comes, it's very soothing. And then the sun thinks, hey, I'm not getting that much Krishna now. The sun increases heat and it melts away the cloud. And then he gets darshan again. And then all the other clouds, you know, let me serve Krishna now. And a second cloud comes over there. So this is everybody actually serving Krishna in this spiritual world. And so even the honeybees are there, they are also serving Krishna. So Krishna's face is covered by these silken hair. So now, nilai can refer either to the face of Krishna or it can refer to the hair of Krishna. So
Krishna's face is bluish black, and Krishna's hair is also blackish. So that neither can refer to both. Now, one important thing, yesterday I was mentioning about how things are not as simplistic as we say here the material world is there, then there is a river there, then beyond there is a spiritual world is there. Now, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes that actually in the 89th chapter of the 10th canto, this Shruti Stava, the prayers were the personified Vedas. So there is a question and answer between Narayana Rishi and Narad Muni. And there in purport over there, Chakravarti Pad describes that actually the Supreme Lord cannot be described by our material senses. So he says, when we say that Krishna is a youth of a bluish black complexion, and what do we know at that time? Often we think of a bluish black color and we think of a young man. Mm-hmm. And we combine the two together. But the composite of two mental conceptions is not the Supreme Personality. So we cannot have the Supreme Personality invoke like that. But, so he makes a very interesting point that the when the scriptures talk about Krishna, the scriptural talks are indicative, not descriptive. So they are not incorrect, but they are not complete in their description. So in one sense, the material world is here, material world is here. It's correct in one sense, but it's not a complete description. It's indicative, it's not accurately descriptive. So like that when the soul is situated in the region of the heart, and 110,000 of a tip of a hair. So now, it's not literally 110,000, but the soul is spiritual. So it doesn't have material dimensions. But that doesn't mean the soul doesn't have dimensions. So it has dimensions. But there's spiritual dimensions also. So this is indicative, not descriptive. Not that it is wrong, but it is indicative. So similarly over here, when the material analogies are used, they indicate Krishna. But he says that when actually one gets darshan of Krishna, then one understands that actually Krishna is something different. So in the Lalit Madhav, Rupa Goswami describes that there are two kings, they have been imprisoned by Banasura, by Bhamasura, and then they are released to glorify Krishna. And when they glorify Krishna at that time, they say, actually, my dear Lord, we are glorifying you. We thought we were glorifying this. This and the literal mission is that Krishna, please, you are so powerful, you are this, that. And then they say that we are glorifying you, but now that we have met you, we feel that our glorification is actually an insult. Why? Because if somebody is the emperor of the world and we glorify him as the as a chieftain of a village, then that is not a glorification, that is actually an insult. So actually even insult, like two words also say like that. My dear Lord, everything that I wrote to glorify you is actually an insult to you, because you are so much more glorious. Shankaracharya is something similar, but my eye interrupted differently. He said that, my dear Lord, although you are I have committed an offense to you, so please forgive me for it. So although you are beyond words, I have tried to describe you in words. So please forgive me for this offense. So what the Mayavadi, so this is a devotional sentiment. But the Mayavadi followers of Shankaracharya, what they say? That actually God is beyond words only. No, God is not beyond words. The perfection of words is to glorify Krishna. But even when we use words to glorify Krishna, what it means is that we cannot contain Krishna within the words. So the word will get exhausted, but Krishna's glory will not get exhausted. So that is the devotional meaning of that statement. It is not that Krishna is beyond word. That's why there is achintya and there is anirvachaniya. So the Mayavadis say the absolute truth is anirvachaniya. Anirvachaniya means is beyond word. But the Vaishnavas knows is rarely use the word anirvachaniya. They use the word achintya. That means we cannot understand and catch him with our senses. But that does not mean we cannot describe him by words. Surely, the purpose and perfection of words is to use it to glorify him. So, therefore, there are different analogies used to describe Krishna. So, one analogy is his face is like a lotus. The hair around him is like honeybee swarming around it. Pritam kuntalai smigdha rattaisya gopya. And as he is meditating on Krishna's face, now this is Krishna, just in that same morning, when this whole passing happened, Krishna came to Mother Yashoda. He said, "I want your milk." Mother Yashoda picked him up. And as he was drinking milk, she kissed him. She kissed him in out of her love for him. So the kiss marks are there on the face of Krishna. And he's saying, Mohushchumbitam bimbam. So it's his beautiful face, and then there is covered by the hair, and there are kiss marks over there. And then he says, Raktadharam me, that Krishna's lips are like the bimba fruit. So they are also reddish. And it's described in the third and third canto that Krishna has shining pearl-like teeth. And when Krishna smiles, then at that time his lips are reflected in his teeth. Mm-hmm. And it captivates the mind of the transcendentalist. Hasamahare ravanta khila loka tivra shokashu sagara vishoshana matyudaram. His Hasamahare, the smile of Lord Hari, what does it do? Avanata khila loka tivra, the loka in the material world, because of the misery in the material world, people are shedding tears. And how many tears are shedding? You know, for all the lifetimes we have lived in the material world, if we accumulate all the tears, it will become an ocean. Shokashu sagar. But when Krishna smiles so sweet that it dries up the ocean of tears. Vishoshanamatyudaram. How charitable is Krishna? So that is the power of Krishna's smile. So he's having this vision. Idante mukhambojmatyantani utangkuntalai snigdharaktaishyavopya muhushchumbitam bimba raktadharamme manasyavirashtam. Let that form be manifest. So he's describing the detail and saying, please let that form be manifest. And again he's emphasizing, manasyavirashtam alam lakshalabhai. Laksha. Now here the word laksha is used to indicate not just crores but unlimited. That unlimited other booms are of no use as compared to the sweetness of this darshan within the heart. And he fervently prays, my dear Lord, please let this form always be manifest within me. So let's recite this verse. This is of what time? So let's recite and then go to the next verse.
Idam te mukhambojam atyanta nilaye pritam kundalai snigdharaktaishcha gopya muhushchumbitam bimba raktadharamme manasya virashtam lakshalabhai. Namo deva damodara ananta vishnu prasida prabho dukha jaha vimagnam kripa drishti drishtya divinam vatanam grihanesha mahagya medhakshi drishya.
So, after having darshan of Krishna within his heart, he wants to have sakshat darshan of Krishna. So, although in one sense both are non-different, the meditative darshan and the direct darshan. But still, a devotee longs for the direct darshan, as I was talking about the Vrajavasis. Buddha told him, Krishna is there in your heart. Meditate on him. So that's fine, Krishna is there in my heart, but we want to see Krishna directly. Because in the heart, we can only do manas seva. But when Krishna is there, we can offer him nice delicacies, we can decorate him, we can serve him. So that's why a devotee always wants the direct darshan. Now Prabhupada explains in a Bhagavatam Parapur that a devotee desires but does not demand the Lord's darshan. He certainly desires because out of his love he wants to behold the direct darshan of the Lord. But at the same time he doesn't feel qualified, so he doesn't demand. Even the Vishwarup, when Arjuna wanted to see, he said, Yadi shakyasi me drishtum. If you think it is possible for me to see it, then please reveal it to me. So, you know, Hayagiri Prabhu writes in the Hare Krishna explosion, 1966, towards the end, he went to Prabhupada. He told Prabhupada, Swamiji. At that time they would not call Prabhupada Prabhupada, they would call him Swamiji. When Prabhupada came back from India to America, at that time, they offered him the title Prabhupada. So, Swamiji, he said, nothing has happened in my life.
I just went, at that time, Prabhupada was very accessible. You would go any time to him, talk anything with him practically. Swami, nothing was happening in my life. So Prabhupada was doing some translation work, very grave, so one looked up. Prabhupada was used to this disturbance, very compassionate. So what happened? I have been chanting Hare Krishna for and following that principle for 6 months. I have not even heard the name of Krishna. Nothing is happening. So Prabhupada looked at it and then he turned the book that he was reading and read it. And then he just took it and he said, that is actually the 11th chapter of the Gita. Prabhupada was actually going through that and translating and commenting on that. And there was a description of thousands, then there were hundreds of, he saw hundreds of faces and hundreds of hands and hundreds of legs. He was wondering, what has this got to do with it? So Prabhupada said, so he read it and he said, I read Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, read it aloud. He read it aloud and then he said, then he asked, what is this particular phrase? My dear Lord, if you think I am qualified, then please show me your form. And then he read that and, so do you understand? He said, again, read it again. If you think you are qualified, Prabhupada said, yes, Prabhupada smiled. He says, when the Lord thinks you are qualified, the Lord will reveal yourself. So at that time, when my Prabhupada's presence, the devotees have such confidence that they will feel that, so just tomorrow, day after tomorrow, we are going to take over the world. And the day after that, we are going to see Krishna. Prabhupada, the highest state of devotion were very, very lofty, but Prabhupada had that ability to create confidence. Amazing confidence he would create. So, as we are mentioned about it, there is Professor Thomas Hopkins. He wrote a book about the Hare Krishna and the counterculture. So he said, the one thing that struck me about Bhaktivedanta Swami was his amazing ability to give faith to others. You know, people who have not done practically nothing with their lives, he told them, you go and start moving. Start teaching all different parts of the world, start the movement over there. And they will do that. So he said, and the confidence that he created in them was not that he had confidence or he had confidence in God. And that he could create in people that confidence that God will help them if they try to serve. So in modern times people talk about self-confidence. But actually their self-confidence is an illusion because they don't know what is the self. So there is a question of confidence. But so real self-confidence comes when you understand the self is a part of Krishna. So Prabhupada had that ability to create that confidence. But the Prabhupada did not discourage Hare Krishna. Prabhupada is very calm and graceful. So Hare Krishna understood at that time. So a devotee certainly desires, but he doesn't demand. Krishna, why are you not coming in front of me? Now there is a popular song, is Krishna, please come dancing into my heart. So there is a popular version song with it. Prabhupada said that is not our mood. Krishna is not our servant, that he will come dancing into our heart. Of course there is a song, Mana Manindurame, you know, please come in the temple of my heart. So everybody sometimes sing that. But it is in a proper mood of humble beseechment. It's not like a demand to the Lord. It's an expression of a desire, the longing is there. So in the Brihadbhava Samhita also, the Gop Kumar is seeing Krishna in his heart, but whenever he chants the mantra, he feels himself transported. But still he wants to see Krishna directly. So that direct darshan of Krishna is always longed for by him. So Bhaktivinoda Puri is also longing for that. But he thinks, how can I actually get the darshan of the Lord? The only way is by Nama Sankirtan. And therefore he chants Hare Krishna. 16 he chants. Deva, Damodar, Ananta, Vishnu, Prabho and Isha. Prasida Prabho Dukkha Jala Abdi Magna. What is that? Prabho Vishnu Vishnu Adi Dinam Madanu Grahana Nisha. So there is a Isha word over there. So he chants six names. And so Sanatana Goswami explains why is he using these particular names. It's not just for poetic or metrical considerations. Namo Deva. Says, my dear Lord, you are the giver of all benedictions. And please, reveal yourself to me. Damodar. And that proof that you can give yourself to your devotee is that you have let yourself be bound by a devotee. That's why you use the word Damodar. And then Ananta, the amount of Ananta doesn't refer to Ananta Cheshna over here. That will be Asabhas over here. So Ananta means the Lord who gives unlimited benediction to his devotee. And, you know, your mercy to the devotee is unlimited. Although I may be fallen, I'm unqualified, but still, you
can reveal yourself because your mercy is unlimited. And then the Lord was, but how can I manifest myself? I am in the spiritual world. And there I was in front of Vishnu. I was manifested in the spiritual world. No, you are not just in the spiritual world, you are Vishnu. What does the word Vishnu mean? One, all pervading. Jo Vishwa ke harek anu mein hai, unko Vishnu kehte hai. So Vishwa and Anu becomes Vishnu. That Lord is all pervading. So by the Lord you are all pervading. You are present everywhere. So you can easily manifest yourself. And then the Lord says, I am all pervading, but why should I manifest in front of you? Because you are my Prabhu, I am your eternal servant. And you are my eternal master. Please manifest yourself. But it's very difficult. You are supreme control, what is difficult or impossible for you? You can do anything and everything, my dear Lord. Please manifest yourself. So he prays. Namo Deva Damodar Anant Vishnu. Proceed. Proceed means be pleased. So Prabhupada writes in Mandhavadam purport, in the devotee prays to Krishna, please be pleased with me. Please be pleased with me. Now, we generally when we serve, we cannot claim that our service is pleasing to Krishna. We do the service and we pray to Krishna, please be pleased. So proceed, Dukkha Jala Abhimagnam. So now he is doing two things. He is glorifying. So actually this one verse has all the three moods. That is Samprasanatmika, Taina Bodhika and Lal Samai. So he is Samprasanatmika, he is speaking the glories by chanting the various names of Krishna. Now he is Taina Bodhika. My dear Lord, Dukkha Jala Abhimagnam. I am drowning in the ocean of misery. Now what is the Dukkha? We are all drowning in the ocean of samsara. But he is not talking about the ocean of samsara. He is talking about the ocean of separation from Krishna. The gopis, when they were separated from Krishna, they felt like drowning. There is Mother Radharani says that, actually, my condition is like an animal who has been trapped in a cage and the cage is set on fire. And the animal cannot run away because the door is bolted. Ever since Krishna has gone away, I am afflicted with the fire of separation. And he says, I would have left this body long ago and died. But Krishna has bolted the door by his promise that I will come back. Because he promised I will come back, he said, I cannot leave this body also. Because if Krishna comes back and Krishna sees that I am not there to serve him, he will be unhappy. So therefore, I cannot tolerate Krishna's displeasure. Therefore, I have to stay here. So devotee feels immense suffering in separation of Krishna. But Tatmani is not talking about Bhavadamsara Sagar over here. He is talking about the ocean of separation. Dukkha Jala Vimagra. Krupa Drishti Vishtya. So, Krupa Drishti, my dear Lord, please cast your merciful glance on me. Vishtya Ati Deenam Batanu. So, he is in two words over here. Deen is fallen and Agyam. Agyam is ignorant. So, he says, I am fallen and I don't even know how to elevate myself. So, I am suffering over here and I am separated from there. I don't know how I will get your association. So my dear Lord, if you just see how much I am suffering, then you are compassionate. That your compassion will be aroused. So please, the first request is Krupa Drishti Drishti. Please glance on me how much I am suffering. And then, when the Lord has glanced, then he is saying, what is the request? Edyakshi Drishti. First you glance on me and then you reveal yourself to me. Edyakshi Drishti. So Sanatana Goswami says that actually this request is so lofty. And asking the Lord to reveal himself is so lofty that there was no reserve that for the last part of the verse. That is the essential purpose of singing the verse. But he glorifies the Lord, expresses fallen condition, and then at the end he says, Grahanesha Mamagyam Edyakshidusha, Edyakshidusha, with these eyes, let yourself, let me be seen by you. And he starts thinking, my dear, I have asked for a very, very lofty thing. Then he feels some reservation. Suppose, you know, we are traveling and somebody is going in a car and a beggar knocks. Kya chahiye? Car do na. So,
literally ask me to do. How can you ask like that? So actually, when the devotee is asking the Lord for bhakti, Lord reveals himself, then when the Lord gives bhakti, Lord gives himself, the Lord becomes a servant. If Lord is asking for a car, the beggar is coming and asking, you are the only room. How did you ask like that? Not because you are not qualified. So, sometimes better people say that the devotees are ambitious. Devotees are super ambitious. Better people are also ultimately begging only. They are either begging from Krishna or they are begging from other materialistic people. But they are begging for small, small things. The devotee begs for such a big thing and Krishna is shocked. How can you ask for this thing? As I Bhagavad Gita, mukti ladati karhichit nasma bhakti yogam. The Lord gives mukti very easily, but he does not give bhakti. Because when he gives bhakti, then he becomes bound. So he is realizing that, you know, I am asking for too much of a lofty thing. So then what does he do? He talks about precedence. My dear Lord, you have given similar mercy earlier also. So I am not asking for something extraordinary. You go and ask for a car. How can I ask for a car? But yesterday only you have died somebody.
So like that, he talks about Lalaswara and Maitreya in the next verse. Let us decide this verse. I will go to the next verse. Namo Deva Damodara Ananta Vishnu Pratidakya Bhurukha Jala Dimagna Kripa Vishti Vishyati Dinam Grihanesha Mamavyame Dhyakshidrishya Kuveratma Yomadha Murtyai Vayatma Tvaya Mochitao Bhakti Bhajau Kritavta Tatha Prema Bhakti Svarame Trayasya Namokhe Graho Vesti Tamo Dhyakha Kuveratmajo, that actually you deliver the sons of Kuvera. Now he's not using the word Nalakura Manigri because ultimately when the Lord bestows mercy, he bestows not mercy not because of our qualification, but because of our connection. We can never become qualified. Our qualification is our connection. Our connection with devotees who love Krishna and whom Krishna loves makes us qualified. So actually the Lord bestowed mercy on Nalakura Manigriya not because they did anything extraordinary, in fact that is something offensive, but he bestowed mercy because they are blessed, because of mercy was desired by Narada Muni. And also Kuvera is also a great devotee of the Lord. In fact there are four Lokpalas, the four directions are protected by the four personalities. So Indra, Yama, Kuvera and Varuna, these four are the Lokpalas. So there is a special responsibility. So Kuvera Atmajo, they were the sons of Kuvera. Baddha Murti Vayadvar. So Baddha Murti, that means the Murti is formed. So in your form, when you are bound. So what did you do? Taya Mochitao, you liberated them. So he is expressing the wonder in the prayers of Rajendra. The Lord glorified as Adhut Karanaya. You are the wonderful cause. Why is it a wonderful cause? Normally if somebody is bound, somebody else has to go and liberate that person. Free that person. He says, but you were bound and in your bound form you liberated. He liberated those two sons of Nalakura Manigriya. And what did you do? Tvaya mochitau bhakti bhajau kritau cha. You not only liberated them from the body of the trees, but you liberated them from material existence. Actually the way to be, a devotee does not want to get liberated. A devotee wants to become bound. He wants to become bound to Krishna's lotus feet by devotional service. And when he is bound to Krishna's lotus feet by devotional service, he is automatically liberated from maya. So tvaya mochitau, you liberated them from maya and bhakti bhajau kritau cha. You provided them your bhakti. So, another prayer Manigriyam, although they have been intoxicated earlier, but they were purified of their intoxication by the curse of Narada Muni, which deprived them of that of which they were proud, and their beautiful and young bodies. But then, by the darshan of Krishna,
while they were trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, they became purified of all other material desires and they developed in their heart the desire to serve Krishna. So that darshan had the potency. So Narasimha had a complete plan. Not only did Anartha Nivritti, but he also arranged such a way that they had Artha Pravritti also. And that's why when they become liberated, they pray. When they are free to material bodies, a very beautiful prayer that Malakur Maitri offered to Krishna. And one of the prayers is, there are many prayers like that. They say, Vani Gunanu Kathane. That's like our Vani we used to speak about your Guna and past time. Shravanamu Kathaya. Let our words be used to hear your glory. Astauncha Karmasu. Let our hands be engaged in your service. Manasutta-pada-yorna. Let our minds be engaged in remembering the lotus feet. And the last thing that they say is very interesting. Drishti-satam-darshanestu-bhavattanuna. It says, let our eyes be used to see your servants. Bhavattanuna. Satam-darshane. Why? Because they say, seeing your devotees is not different from seeing you. My dear Lord, as long as in the material world, we cannot see you always. We are seeing you now, but we are not able to see you when we go to heaven. But let us always use our eyes to see your devotees, to behold the form of your devotees. Why? Because when we behold the form of the devotees remind us of Krishna. And that's why seeing devotees is not different from seeing Krishna. One time a devotee asked Prabhupada said, at the time of death, we remember the spiritual master, what will happen? Prabhupada said, if you remember the spiritual master, the spiritual master will remind you of Krishna and you will go back to the spiritual. So actually for us, remembering the spiritual master is relatively easier for remembering Sri Vaishnava. Drishti Satam Darshane. They saw Narada, they never see Narada in a devotional mood. But still the result of that, they got darshan of Krishna. That's why they think, let our eyes be engaged in beholding the beauty of your devotees. So here Suttaguru is saying, my dear Lord, they had darshan of Narada over there. Now I am also having darshan of Narada here. Because he is speaking all this in Narada. He is reciting in the Padma Puran. This whole Tamada Astaka is being said in Narada. And just as you gave benediction to Nalakura and Managri, Tatha Prema Bhakti Swakam Me Prayacha. Similarly, please give me your Prema Bhakti. So he is saying, just as they were bound and they were delivered, so please deliver me also. And again you see, na mokshe graho me isti dhamo dareha. No, no, I do not want moksha. Now we wonder why is so, again say, no moksha, no moksha. Because, you know, we express our desires both by expressing the positive and by expressing rejection of the negative. That expresses the intensity of our desire. Just like when a child is crying, mommy, mommy is crying, and the mother comes along. And the mother comes and gives some towel to the child. Child takes that one, starts playing and is happy. Mother goes away from there. And again starts crying after the day. Again the mother comes and gives a toy. He says, oh, very nice. Starts playing with the toy. The mother goes away. And again starts crying after some time. And then the mother gives him a toy. And then he throws the toy away. He takes the toy and says, mommy, I want you. He keeps crying. And the mother says, what do you want? He says, I want you. And the mother takes him and puts him on that. So like that, you know, when we practice devotional service, we are trying to cry for Krishna. So Krishna comes along and gives us some material things, gives us some toys. Now he gives us some material abilities. You become a good singer, you become a good speaker, you become a good manager. You know, you learn, get a good memory, memorize shloka. If you have memorized shloka, then I am very clever. Krishna goes away. So I sing very nicely. You know, many times it happens that when we sing or we speak, you know, we are more conscious of how much others are appreciating us than we are conscious of Krishna. Sometimes we are singing, but others are more Krishna conscious than we are. So it happens like that. So sometimes Krishna gives us those toys. So, you know, if we accept those toys and become satisfied with those toys, then we lose Krishna. So therefore we have to express, I don't want anything else Krishna, I want you only. It's not that we reject what Krishna means that. We use it for Krishna's service, but we are not satisfied. Krishna, I want you. Therefore, we express our desire our positive desire by rejection of the negative also. So he says, my dear Lord, I want your darshan, I want your bhakti, I don't want moksha. So he is expressing that again and again. Na moksha graho, na janyam rudayam, I don't want anything else. So please engage me in bhakti. And then the last verse, now he feels that, you know, I already asked a lot too many times. So he ends the whole ashtakam with a samparathanatmika prayer. He glorifies the Lord. So let's recite that. Recite the seventh and then we'll go to the eighth.
Kuverasmajau baddhau mutyai vayasvat tvayam chitau bhakti bhajau kritau cha तथा प्रेम भक्ति प्रयत्ता न मोक्षे ग्रहोमि सामादरेह नमस्ते सुदाने पुरस्थिताने त्वदीयो दरायाद विश्वस्य नामे नमो राधिकायै परियाख्यायै
So, again he is longing for that darshan of the Lord, and again his vision is going back to the particular form that he is beholding. And then he thinks that actually I am not having that darshan of the Lord, but this rope is having another direct darshan, is having contact with the Lord also. Direct. How fortunate is that rope? Namaste to Dhamme. Therefore, I offer our obeisances to that rope. That is so fortunate that it is able to directly touch the form of the Lord. Namaste to Dhamme. Puradipti Dhamme. Dipti is it. Effulgent rope. How fortunate, how effulgent is that rope that is directly touching the form of the Lord. So, everything connected with the Lord is sacred. Lord Prasad is not just in terms of the food that is offered to him, the dress, that he wears, the ornaments, the garland, everything is the prasad of the Lord. Everything connected with the Lord also becomes sacred. And that also has the potency to purify us. To describe the Uddhava, he would only, although he was himself a prince, he would only wear those clothes which are worn by Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita said that, by actually, in this way, living on your prasad, one can easily conquer material existence. That's why, you know, in the past, Sanatana Goswami and Damodar Pandit, no, Jagadananda Pandit. So when Jagadananda Pandit and Damodar and Sanatana Goswami were in Bhavan, he saw that Sanatana Goswami was wearing a saffron scarf. So they said, yeah, hey, when did our Lord give this to you? And then Sanatana Goswami said, actually, the sannyasi Mukunda Saraswati who came here, and he gave this card to me. So, I said, he is offering obeisances to the rope which is bound the Lord's belly. And then he says that what is the glory of that rope that is bound the belly, and what is the glory of that belly? Namaste Dhamme Spruddhiti Dhamme Tvadiyo Dharayat Vishwasya Dhamme. This is the same belly from which the whole Vishya has come out. So the Lord, now of course the universe has not come out from Krishna's belly, it has come out from him. Garbha Daksha Vishnu Bani. But they are not different. They are expansions. Ultimately, Krishna is the source of all the expansions. So he said that this is the glory of this belly. And then, thinking about the greatness of the Lord, he thinks, oh, my only hope for mercy is the abode of mercy, Srimati Radharani. And therefore, he invokes her blessings. Namo Radhikayai Padiya Priyayai. So that Radharani who is very dear to you, and that, so the Tvadiya Priyayai can mean both things. So he's referring to Krishna and he's reminding of that Radharani who is very dear to you. And that was saying to Radharani, oh Radharani, you were very dear to Krishna. So actually he described that when we chant the names of Krishna, Krishna is certainly attracted, but Radha is also attracted. Who is chanting the names of my Lord? She is attracted. And chant Hare at that time, chanting Radhana's name, Radha is attracted. And also along with that, Krishna is attracted. Krishna is saying, who is attracted to my the name of my beloved? Chant Hare Krishna, Radha and Krishna both are attracted, but only we are not attracted.
So they are able to hear it and they are falling off to sleep.
So actually, in the Balaji Mahatma, it is described that, you know, that Lord Vishnu, he is surrounded by Bhudevi and Shri Devi on two sides, his flank. So Bhudevi represents the material energy and Shri Devi is his spiritual energy. So he is flanked by both of them. And so when the devotee goes and prays to the Lord, my dear Lord, please give me mercy. So the Lord is not in the compassion. He says, you have done so many sinful things, you are such a rascal, I don't want to give you mercy. And he turns to Shri Devi. Isn't it, I shouldn't give you mercy? He says, actually, yes, he is very fallen, but you are the Lord of the fallen. So you give him mercy. And then the Lord reveals, now he turns to Bhudevi. And Bhudevi says, I don't agree with her. I said, yes, at least somebody agrees with me. He says, so he says that Shri Devi has said that he is very fallen, but actually everybody in this world is fallen, and at least among all those fallen people, he has come to you. Therefore, you should give him mercy.
And the Lord says, both of them are saying, well, I'll give you mercy, but I've lost that. No, I'll give you mercy. They just mercy. So, therefore, actually, the way to approach the father is through the mother. Namo Radhikaya.
That's why we can offer our personal prayers, but we also offer the prayers that the previous acharya and the great devotees have offered. Because when we offer those prayers, then by offering those prayers, we remind the Lord of those devotees. And when we remind the Lord of those devotees, the Lord becomes pleased by the remembrance of those devotees, and his heart becomes soft. And then, when we offer our prayer, the Lord will fulfill our prayer. It's a strategy.
Strategy to get mercy.
So, Namo Radhikaya Tvadiyapriyaya. To that Radharani, who is your beloved, and who are your, who and to whom you are beloved, to that Radharani offer obeisances. And then he concludes, my Lord, you are so merciful that this is such a wonderful pastime, but you have performed unlimited pastime. Like this, Modi Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jivera Kara, no, what is that? Asiya Prapanche Nila Koile Sumistar. That you come to this material world and perform elaborate pastimes. Why elaborate pastimes? So that even if my devotee can bore one pastime with another pastime. That's all the pastimes that you can discuss. That is, you know, if you see the other traditions, there is no pastime only, practically speaking. In the Christian or the Muslim traditions, there is no pastime that God described. The pastime of the devotee was when Jesus came and he was crucified. Over. What more pastimes? Not much pastimes are there. So there are so many incarnations, so many pastimes. So actually, you know, there is so much variety in spiritual life. One thing we have to do, we have to enjoy only relationship with Krishna. But once we accept that principle, there is so much variety within that principle. How I will serve Krishna and which pastimes I can relate, which forms I can offer my heart to, that we have freedom for it. Sometimes there are some people say that if Krishna has one form, then why do different deities look different? Krishna has one form, but he has unlimited moods. And because unlimited moods, so all the different deities they reflect in different moods. And Krishna manifests in different forms, so that at least in one form we get attracted to him. That is his mercy. So, Namo. Namo Radhikaya Tvadiya Priyaya Namo Ananta Leelaya Devaya Tubhyam. That Lord performs unlimited pastimes. His unlimited pastimes are expression of unlimited mercy. So that Lord is unlimitedly merciful, and so during his unlimited pastimes, I offer my respectful obeisance. So let's write this last verse. Namaste Sudhamne Surasthiti Dhamne
Tvadiyasaraya
దామోదర్ భగవానికి
జై,
దామోదర్ అష్టకంకి
జై,
పద్మనికి శ్రీ ప్రభుపాదికి జై, గౌర్ భక్తులందరికి జై, గౌర్ భీమాన్.